Hello, I'm Trevor Dann, and this is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. Two stories from Manchester this week. The ebullient Chelsea Norris on her new life at the BBC after 11 years at Key 103. And Ashley Byrne on how he's turned Made in Manchester into one of the biggest independent radio production companies outside London.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Well, it's been a big week for commercial radio with the announcement of the government's consultation on regulation. Should stations be allowed to broadcast anything they like with just a few light touch requirements for local news? Does this mean the end for live local breakfast shows and the continuing drift towards national syndicated commercial networks? Well, probably. Have a look at the debate on radiotoday.co.uk. Some people will undoubtedly make a lot more money if this goes through, and some won't have jobs anymore. Stu Clarkson's got more on the story in a minute, and I'm sure we'll revisit the discussion on a future episode of this podcast. But now to the Northwest.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
So they're calling it the biggest transfer in Manchester since Carlos Tevez left United for City. Chelsea Norris turns up at BBC Manchester. What's the big difference when you walk in that door at Media City, Chelsea? How does it feel?
It feels like you're a part of an amazing team. Weirdly, I'd never ever stepped foot in Media City before I'd initially gone to meet the BBC. It's one of those places where once you have, you think, why on earth have I not been here sooner? It's very exciting. It's really amazing to be in that environment. And you feel as if you're still only at the very beginning of, you know, a massive journey. That part of Manchester is unrecognisable. And the amount of you know, TV shows, radio show, everything that comes from there is kind of quite mind-blowing. And I would come home and say to my husband and to my mum, oh, it's brilliant. I mean, it's just amazing. And then you... And they didn't quite get it. I was sort of left with, oh, that's good, love. And so this one day I said to them, just come in with me. So they actually came into Media City with my little girl, my husband, my mum. And I gave them a tour around, briefly around Media City. And then they came into the into Key House. And I introduced them to everyone. They sat in the studio and then they went off and did their own thing. And afterwards, it was them saying to everyone, all their friends, oh, my God, you should see where Chelsea works. Amazing.
I guess the big difference... I know Key 103 is a big station, but between a smaller commercial station and that massive conglomeration of BBC at Media City, is it could be quite daunting, couldn't it? Do you feel as though there's a little bit more pressure on you, or is it actually just enabling because there's more people to help?
Yeah, I think there's probably a bit of both, if I'm honest with you. It is massively different. And if you've only ever worked in commercial and you go into the BBC, it's like a different language. It's like a different world. Everything is completely different. And with that comes a fear of the unknown and, like you say, a pressure because it's so big and you want to do so well, but yet you feel a bit like a deer in the headlights. But at the very same time, there is a great feeling of support. And I don't think I'd be out of turn in saying that sometimes in commercial there is a feeling that people want you to fail or that they're waiting for you to fail. And the overwhelming feeling when you go to somewhere like the BBC, and in my experience in particular, is that they not only want you to succeed, but they want to be a part of helping you do that. And there's a little period of time where I suppose you've come out of a relationship that maybe has not been so healthy, and you start to go into a new one and you're in fear that you're going to get hurt again. And after a little while, you think, maybe I found a good guy. Maybe this is the one, you know, and that's been a really nice feeling.
We all saw the circulated style guide that came out of Bauer. And that made us think about the constraints that people like you with big characters and personalities were likely to be working under in the future. And I guess one of the things that you must feel going over to BBC Manchester is there's just that little bit more freedom. I was listening to Mike Sweeney just now, actually, on BBC Manchester and thinking, that's not an act that would play any longer on a commercial radio station, even though he was very successful in that arena for a long time.
Mike feels he's found his home. He's very happy there. And these figures, you know, are amazing. And BBC Radio Manchester's figures, you know, are the best in over a decade. So there is a market for that. Do you know, it's weird. I did see the style guide. Somebody had to tell me that it was there, because I kind of feel like I've left that world and I don't want to be... have any part of it. And so I did see it, and yeah, that's something I've seen in the past and I've worked under. Key has obviously had some issues in the past, struggling. It's not the only commercial station that will do so, and I understand that, you know, there are people in suits high up that have to be seen to do something to try and turn this around, and I think that's just one of them. I think although Bauer has issued that, it wouldn't surprise me if there are, you know, the exact same guides floating around at various other groups up and down the country. And sometimes as a presenter, you've done that and you've followed the orders, so to speak. And maybe in your heart, you feel that that's not the right thing to do, or that isn't the right direction, or that won't get the listeners in. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got a job to do and they pay you to do it. And you have to do what they tell you to do until they tell you to go.
Which they did.
They did, yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean about the, you know, obviously the BBC being the BBC comes with its own rules, its own guides. You know, there's more rules that I've come across at the BBC than I ever thought that there would be. But they're all there for the right reasons. They're all there to protect you. And, you know, you have to be fair and all that kind of thing, which you don't necessarily have to do quite so much on commercial radio.
One of the things that is going to be different for you, I know you haven't started your new show yet, but when you do Drive Time on BBC Manchester, you're going to be doing a solo show. And after all those years of being a sidekick or in a duo, that must be quite daunting, isn't it?
Very scary. I suppose it's like whenever you hear these pop bands being interviewed and they've been a band and then they go off to do their solo thing. And they always say that, you know, they get on stage and you go to turn to look at your friend to your left and suddenly there's nobody there. It's just you on your own. And it is absolutely like that. If I'm honest, when I left Key, I didn't know if I would ever work in radio again. I was very broken. And somebody at BBC Manchester, and it's funny that you should mention Mike Sweeney, he's been a friend of mine. I used to read his news on Capital Gold about 15 years ago. And he was the one that actually spoke to Kate Squire, head of BBC Radio Manchester, about me and why the meeting took place. And he felt that I would do well there with my journalistic background as well. And
Well, if I may interrupt, that's an important thing about you that's not always recognised in some of the coverage of the story of you leaving Key, which is you are not the classic breakfast bimbo, are you? You are a proper journalist.
I like to think so. I mean, I know when I first joined Key, one of the things they wanted was somebody who might know a little bit about what they're talking about, but also be able to kind of challenge Mike at the same time, which is kind of, you know, that was the beauty of the friendship, of the relationship, if you like. And whilst in a commercial environment as a breakfast show co-host, you do less and less journalism. And I wondered whether I'd lost that. I remembered something that John Pickford said to me, who was obviously the news editor at Key 103. I think he's one of the longest serving commercial radio news editors in the country. And I was a bit concerned leaving journalism to come to do presenting. And he said to me that I've got a degree, I've got the experience, and no one will ever take that away from me. This is just another string to my bow. And that initial contract, I only signed it for 12 months. I didn't know I was going to end up staying for 11 and a half years. And now I'm going back to still doing exactly what I've done for 11 and a half years, but tapping back into the very beginnings of where I began. So I suppose it's kind of a nice mix, and it's just getting back into learning to use those skills that I learned so many years ago.
I want to find out more about the show that you're going off to do on BBC Manchester, but are you still seeing Mike Toolan at all? Are you still mates?
I don't really have any contact with many people from Key anymore.
So bridges have been burned.
I don't own any matches. okay. I don't own any matches.
We hear you.
It's just one of those things that happen. Commercial radio is all I've ever known. Leaving was immensely difficult. Probably one of the darkest times in my life, I would say. I just had a new baby. That's a massive change to any woman. It's a massive change to any man. Anybody who's had a baby knows how difficult it is. But in the months that follow, hormones, breastfeeding, et cetera, it was tough. And I felt very low. And it's been, it's taken some time to recover from that. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. I always try, and I always have a saying. Everything, in fact, it's not mine. I can't steal it. It was Marilyn Monroe's. She said, "Everything happens for a reason, and sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together." The difficulty is when you don't know what the reason is, you feel a bit lost. But if you sort of have faith and hope that there is a reason, and at some point in the future it will become apparent, then you can find a bit of light in a bit of a dark room. And I think that's how I dealt with it, really.
People will find a lot of comfort in what you've just said, Chelsea. That's a very important thing to think about at times like this, because I don't think you'll be the only person to whom this happens, sadly. You know, when this deregulation occurs, there'll be a lot of breakfast show presenters looking for work as we move into a more syndicated world.
Yeah, it's only radio at the end of the day, isn't it? We're not keeping people alive and all the rest of it. But for a lot of people, it's all they've ever done. It's all they ever have known. And you need to work to keep the bills being paid and to keep a roof over your family's head. And you want to be good at what you can do. But I just think that you can't make somebody love you. And if it's time to go, it's time to go. And if it's your choice or not, just have faith that if you are good at what you do, things will come good again at some point. And I don't know if this show's going to be a big roaring success.
Oh, it will be.
People will like me, but I can only say this is me, and I hope that you do. And I've had some wonderful tweets and direct messages and emails from people who grew up listening to me on Key, who might have gone through a divorce at the same time that I did, or had a baby when I did. And it's just being, I think it's just about being real.
And are the people who come over to BBC Manchester to find you going to find you being the same authentic Chelsea you always were, even though you're within a different format?
I would absolutely hope so. This is me. I can't really be anything that I'm not. I always think when you open a microphone and you sort of you're talking to people and you're doing it 4 or 5 days a week for however long, you can't. I don't think you can have an act. It must be really hard work to pretend to be something. Some of the best presenters are the ones that just talk about normal stuff, and that's me, and I don't really know how else to do it. So I would hate for somebody to switch over and think, oh god, that's not Chelsea. So we've actually changed some of the format of the new show so that it fits more with me, that so it matches my personality.
And you've been doing BBC Manchester's breakfast show. How's that gone?
I've done it for the last 3 weeks, and since I'd sort of got into the BBC last September, I've covered for Alison Butterworth, who does the breakfast show with Phil Trow. Phil is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And unlike a lot of people, there's a lot of people with egos in media. That's probably half of the reason we're all in it. But he doesn't have one, and he's so nice, and we get on so well. And, you know, getting up at 4:10 in the morning when your baby hasn't slept, you know, to be able to go into work and everybody's so lovely is wonderful. So, yeah, it's been breakfast is difficult in that there's no music whatsoever. It's very news based, but it's really enjoyable. And I suppose every time you do a show that you didn't think you could do, you push the boundaries and you've you know, you feel like, oh, right, I did that. I succeeded in that. And you start to believe in yourself all over again.
Well, Chelsea Norris, everybody listening to this wishes you every success with your new show. I'm sure it'll be on for at least 11 years on Magister.
It takes 4 HRs to make a difference, so at least I've got a year.
You'll do very well. Thanks for talking to the Radio Today programme, Chelsea. It's really, really nice to hear you sounding so bubbly. And we wish you well as we go to the news with Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. Here are this week's big stories from radiotoday.co.uk. Major changes could be on the way to commercial radio as the government starts a consultation on deregulation. The proposals for regional and local licences include dropping everything in formats except for the requirement to do local news and information. That means all programmes could be networked from anywhere 24/7 if stations want to, and they could play whatever music genre they wanted to. There'll also be no longer a requirement for DAB multiplexes to include certain types of stations, and after switchover, local digital-only stations could be required to do local news. They're all proposals only. The DCMS consultation runs until the 8th of May, and Radio Centre says it'll be going on tour around the country to provide a forum for the plans to be discussed. More big changes have been announced to the Radio 2 schedule this week. Tony Blackburn will be the new host of Sounds of the 60s, which moves to 6 a.m. on Saturdays. Dermot O'Leary takes over Saturday Breakfast 8 till 10, while Zoe Ball does his old Saturday afternoon slot. Other changes see Bob Harris drop his weekend show. Annika Rice will be on Friday nights at midnight. Anna Mantronic will do a disco show Saturday nights at midnight. And Huey Morgan moves to 5 till 6 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays. More music variety is dead. Long live Turn Up the Feel Good, whatever that means. Heart has dropped its old strapline after more than 20 years in use by the brand. Meanwhile, Global has a new Twitter handle and corporate website URL. It was This Is Global. It's now just Global. Signal One Breakfast presenters Andy Cook and Louise Stones have announced on air that they've been told by management they're finishing on the show. Louise has been at the Stoke station 16 years. Andy's been with her the last three, and they took calls from upset and angry listeners on Monday morning's show. The station has confirmed a refresh is happening, but they haven't said what as yet. Listen to the audio from their announcement at radiotoday.co.uk. Across town, BBC Radio Stoke's getting a new breakfast show as well. Pete Morgan's announced he's not returning to the station following 2 months off air. 96.4 The Wave in Swansea has a new breakfast show that started this week with Lee and Claire. Lee Jones has joined from Heart Devon, and the pair replaced Badger at breakfast. Badger, aka Andy Miles, moves to mid-mornings after 21 years on Wave Breakfast. The date's been announced for this year's radio festival. It'll be on Tuesday the 23rd of May, again at the British Library in central London. The festival's moved from the autumn to avoid a clash with other conferences and with the ARIAs, which are expected to be in October again. And the first voice-controlled hybrid radio for cars has gone on sale. Radio Player Car will automatically switch between FM, DAB and streaming to keep you locked onto the station you're listening to on the move. And it's got its own Siri or Alexa-style voice control system as well. Sounds exciting. That's it for this week. There's more news, of course, every day at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. David Lloyd's Radio Moments to come, and a chat with Ashley Byrne, whose production company Made in Manchester is working on programmes for Radio 2, Radio 4, The World Service, all manner of clients. You might think Ash is a former BBC man, but no.
Broadcast Bionics brings you Phone Box, Oasis, Virtual Director, and many more innovative solutions for creative radio people. Come to bionics.co.uk and find out more.
So, Ashley, you must be doing well. This is a very sumptuous office you've brought me to.
This is the Midland Hotel in the middle of Manchester. Very historic building, goes back to 1903, 1904. It was where Mr. Rolls met Mr. Royce. And it was also where Made in Manchester was formed in 2005, would you believe? So there you go. And lots of people have stayed here. It was a big haunt for Noel Coward in his day. Lots of royalty have been here. There are this building could tell lots of stories, let's put it that way.
Not least that you were on an adjacent table to the Director General last week.
Indeed, we came here for an ideas meeting, which we often do, because they make us very welcome in the Midland. And up pops the Lord Hall and the head of Nations and Regions, Ken Macquarie. So we're in great company.
Why weren't they in Media City?
Well, absolutely, yes. Well, there you go. We won't comment on that.
So, Made in Manchester, you work for pretty well all the BBC networks, don't you?
Yes.
I think people must assume that you come from a BBC background, but no.
No, I'm a commercial radio man. In fact, I'm a newspaper man, really, originally. I started, you know, sort of covering Garden Fates when I was about 15, 16, and then eventually sort of got into the newspaper sort of reporting world, making the tea originally, but soon was doing crime reports and, you know, all that kind of thing, really. I did everything. But the interesting thing is, and I think what helps me in running an independent production company, certainly from the initial stages when we were starting out, was that I both worked in newspapers in small teams, very small teams, and then in radio in very small teams, in commercial radio, because it's not like the BBC where you've got lots of people. You've got two or three people to do everything.
You were a news editor, weren't you?
I was news editor, head of news, head of sport, and then became a programme controller eventually. So I eventually...
Mention some stations where you were.
I was at Signal, I was at Alpha Radio in Darlington, at TFM... in Teesside, Lynx FM, of course. I was right at the very early stages of Lynx FM's expansion when they did tracks in Bassett Law and Ridings and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, here in Manchester, Imagine FM, lots of different stations, yeah, over time. And then I worked in the Wireless Group and became a news editor stroke program controller, because there was a period of time in the Wireless Group when I think they were trying to save money, and some news editors were given the job of program controllers as well. So I was working split shifts and all sorts of things. But it was an interesting time. And the great thing, what that did for me at the time was, because I had carte blanche to do what I wanted to do, was that, you know, Christmas time and things like that, we were able to do documentaries. I did a big documentary in Manchester on the Bee Gees, because they came from Chorlton originally, all that kind of stuff. And that, I think, is where the idea of doing my own company came from, because I just thought to myself, you know what, I could do this on a regular basis, and actually it doesn't have to just be about one local radio station. You could do for... So that's where I took the risk in 2005 and set up my own company.
Now, I think that people will assume that with a name like Made in Manchester, yes, you concentrate on Manchester and the North, but in fact, you're national and international, really, aren't you?
Yeah, Made in Manchester is a brand at the end of the day. That's all it is. It's a bit like, you know, you used to have Yorkshire Television and you'd have Anglia Television or whatever, and, you know, nobody ever thought that Anglia only did things in Anglia. You know, Survival went around the world, didn't it? Sale of the Century and Tales Unexpected and all those kind of things. So, yeah, it's just a brand, although it has its advantages sometimes, because, of course, people think immediately that if you're called Made in Manchester, you must know lots about the north of England. So there are times when we get programmes because we're from the north of England. So anything to do with brass bands, we tend to do quite well. But we do things internationally, definitely. We work a lot with the World Service, a lot of work for the BBC World Service, for DW, which is the Deutsche Welle, the German broadcaster, which broadcasts in English around the world, and for PRI in North America. And we'd like to do more of that, you know, because really today, I think if you're in broadcasting, you shouldn't be thinking necessarily local. And I think you should be thinking globally, because the way people consume things, anyone can get in on the act, can't they?
I think one of the differences between you and some of the other smaller companies is you actively want other people to come to you with ideas. This is not about Ashley and his mates make some shows, is it? It's about if you being a talent magnet, I guess.
Yeah, most certainly. It's about collaboration with anything, really. And, you know, I always say to people, I like people to come to me if they've got an idea and we can develop it. If they can have the Made in Manchester stamp and approval from us that we think it's a great idea and all the rest of it, then I like to see them come on board and run with it and make something of it for themselves, really. I think that's really important to encourage, you know, the creativity that's out there, because it is hard getting commissions and things, but I think the thing that we can do, and I think any independent production company can do up to a point, which you can't do when you're dealing with in-house, whether it be BBC or big other stations or whatever, is that we can be very flexible. You know, something that might not work on Radio 5 might work on Radio 1, or actually it might not work on any of them. It might work on a broadcaster abroad, and we can try and make it happen.
And you can sell different versions of the same thing,
yes,
to different radio stations.
Absolutely, of course you can. You know, you might do an interview with, say, a particular film star in America that you've done something with, and you know, you may only need a small amount of it for a particular broadcaster, but then you've got more scope to look elsewhere. And I think you've got to think like that, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're a business and we have to make as much out of it as possible. And of course, it's radio, so the pennies don't go as far as they do in other industries.
Now, I'm going to take a big risk here, Ash. I'm going to give you a minute to bang on about the nations and regions. I've sat on a few committees with you, and I know this may take a long time, but I've got a train to catch.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a big... Most people within the BBC and elsewhere know that I'm a big advocate of the nations and regions. We've just set up... Hasn't met yet. We've just set up a committee with the BBC, a RIG, Radio Independence Group, and the BBC to look at nurturing the nations and regions, particularly in the India sector, but elsewhere as well. I just think it's... You know, I find it bizarre that we're in 2017 and so much is still centred in London. And that doesn't mean to say I've got anything against London. London's a great place. There's some great people there and some great producers there and all the rest of it. But really, there is no excuse. You know, we need to be thinking ourselves UK-wide and doing things all over the place. You know, the BBC should have more meetings out and about and all the rest of it. But more importantly, we should be thinking in terms of how things are reflected on air, whether it be on TV or radio. And I despair sometimes, and case in point was this week, you know, you had all the stuff on the news about the Brexit vote, the Article 50 thing, and, you know, a big chunk of MPs from Scotland, you know, SNP, Lib Dems, various others, voted against triggering Article 50. But there was very little mention of that, and that worries me that we've got UK-wide media, and I'm talking about the whole broadcast media, who essentially are ignoring elements of the country, and then we wonder why people are talking about independence and things like that. Now that's the issue with Scotland, but there are other parts of England that just never get any representation.
Has it made any difference that Five Live moved up here?
I think it's made a difference in some respects. I think that there's certainly people know it's there, but, you know, people who are listening know Five Live comes from Manchester or from Salford, and certainly hear those kind of, you know, the talk about the north and whatever on air. My worry is that actually all we've done in moving a lot of the Beeb up here and a lot of media up here is create two big fiefdoms. So you've got London and you've got Manchester stroke Salford, when actually so much of the country is underrepresented. I mean, we did a programme for Radio 4 this year called England Made in the Middle. It had a higher audience appreciation index than Radio 4 itself, apparently, because of the fact that people in the Midlands as a whole, and you'll know because you're from the Midlands, you're a Nottinghamshire boy, aren't you?
It's me.
They feel very underrepresented. They're not talked about. I mean, yes, you've got that whole north-south divide thing, which has been a big thing for many, many years, and it's, you know, it's inevitable that people talk about the extremes, I suppose, in one sense. But, you know, the Midlands is the heart of England, and yet there's very little, you know, mentioned about it. There have been a few little things. Was it Peaky Blinders was done in Birmingham or whatever, all those kind of things. But generally, there isn't a great deal talked about the Midlands, and I think that's a shame.
When is your next Nations and Regions conference?
The Nations and Regions conference used to be in November. It's now going to be end of March, and basically it starts on March the 28th, and on the 29th is a big day in which there will be a whole focus of sessions about television and about radio. There's a specific radio day, and that will include this year a celebration of drama that's made in the Midlands. So we'll be focusing on the Archers and Home Front, and looking at the background to some of their big storylines this year, of course the domestic violence storyline and the Archers and how that worked. And then we've got a session on comedy, in which we'll be focusing on how Radio Wales is making its mark in comedy. That should be quite interesting, analysing how they bring things to air. And then we've got a session from the World Service, in which Steve Titherington, who's the World Service Commissioning Editor, will be talking about, I think the session's called It Doesn't Have to Be Like This. So his idea is that basically he wants to talk about ripping up the rule book when it comes to creativity and doing things in a completely different way. His view is that basically, you know, in radio, we've got so used to clocks and timings and things happening a particular way, and so he wants to do things differently. So there's that session. And then at the end of the day, there's the thing that I think most people, certainly independent production companies around the UK, come to, which is the meeting the commissioning editors. So we have all the commissioning editors, most of them from the BBC, from nationally and also from the nations and regions, but also we have commissioning editors from commercial sector and hopefully from abroad as well this time, who people can come and have 10 minutes with and chat to them. And the great thing about that is it's out of the round situation when where you're doing formal offers and all that kind of stuff. They can talk about something completely different and hopefully, you know, gain a foothold in some way, shape or form and forge relationships. And in fact, people have, from that, gained new business. So that to me is fantastic. It's a great opportunity.
Ashley Byrne, have a look at his impressive client list on madeinmanchester.tv. David Lloyd's Radio Moments now, so cue that jingle.
Happy birthday this week to a station which has evolved into one of the biggest in the country.
For the first time across Yorkshire and the East Coast, a radio station that's fresh, young and truly innovative.
Kiss 105. Ready
or not? The launch of Kiss 105 from Leeds on St Valentine's Day 20 years ago. The station launched originally under the ownership of Phase FM, which was Level Broadcast, Mike Powell's UKRD, Eastern Counties Newspapers and 3i.
KISS 105 is Yorkshire's biggest new radio station and 384,000 people have made the switch to KISS.
KISS in Yorkshire and in Manchester too was sold to Chrysalis, who carried out a very necessarily abrupt brand transition.
Locked into the brand new Galaxy 102 of 105. Welcome.
Then, of course, Galaxy became Capital 6 years ago.
Capital is coming.
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 Capital.
And on board for that whole time have been people like the legendary Jojo. Happy 20th birthday, 105, and I know they're celebrating this weekend. That station's become one of the biggest by reach outside London. That same week, in 1997, Radio 1 got a new breakfast show.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, hello, what? What, you want to talk to Mark Radcliffe? Somebody on the phone for you, kid.
Tell him I'm too busy, lad. Whoever it is, tell him I'm too busy.
Whoever you are, he's too busy.
Who is it?
Who is it? Oh, it's Roger Bannister.
Roger Bannister? What does he want? Tell him we're busy.
What do you want? We're busy. What?
What? What?
He wants us to do the breakfast show.
tell him there's no way we're getting up that early. Not no way.
Not no way, mate. We're not getting up that early, no. No, what?
And tell him, right, that it's a sellout anyway, and we're not going to compromise our principles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a sellout, right? We're not going to compromise our principles, all right? No, mate, no.
Many a true word spoken in jest. Mark and Lard announcing their debut on Radio 1's breakfast show this week 20 years ago. The programme lasted 8 months. Another Valentine's Day launch now for the UK's third commercial radio station this week in 95.
The Dish, weekday morning 6 till 10 on Talk Radio UK.
You're listening to Talk Radio UK, the nation's new station for talk entertainment on 1053 and 1089 medium wave.
Good morning, she is Samantha Meir.
And he's Sean Bolger.
And we're here every morning on Talk Radio UK from 6 till 10 with The Dish, talking about all the business that's nobody's business. Well, it's a load of nonsense really, isn't it?
But it's not really.
Actually, no. We've got all the stuff. We've got news, sports, showbiz, shopping, my four favourite subjects.
Gossip. I was never expecting to be there sitting on the breakfast show, because originally I'd been hired to do the evening show between 7 and 9 with Samantha Meir, who'd come from BBC WM. I still didn't really understand what had happened, because Moz D and Carol McGiffin had been hired to do the breakfast show, and I don't know whether it just turned out to be too rude or... I don't know. I still don't really know exactly why that programme was shifted to the evening and we were shifted onto the breakfast show. So ultimately, we had about 2.5 days to put together a breakfast show out of nothing. One of the things we made a joke about was about the fact that we weren't really shock jocks, because a lot of the PR strategy for the station had been that this was going to be talk like you'd never heard before, which indeed it was, but that it was also going to be shocking. It was going to be shock jocks. This was the hook that they were hanging the station on. And I don't believe the station was hanging on that hook, but the PR company thought that all publicity was good publicity.
Sean Bolger, Talk Radio said it would have a provocative, opinionated and confrontational approach. The station bid £3.8 million for its AM licence, and government had said it had to be mainly speech. The station turned into TalkSport this week 5 years ago, and now, of course, Talk Radio itself is sort of back in a form. Last year, we lost Ed Stewart. But this week, 47 years ago, he began presenting Junior Choice.
There goes David Arndt, and at long last we got it going as well. Jeans on. Now, loads of cars for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang this week. I think, actually, we've had many more cars. All of a sudden, after the holidays, everybody's back and getting in a writing mood again, which is always good news, because the more cars we get, the more variety we get in the programme. Variety of records, that is. Now, Philip Hurd lives at 17 Webb's Close, Wolvercote, Oxford, and he loved the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, so could we have the theme from that, say, Mum and Dad Hurd? Certainly, and thank you for that long list of records you gave us to choose from. And Philip's mum and dad, Jenny and Sam, say...
Ed Stewart, who hosted his first Junior Choice this week in 1970. It had been children's favourites when it was on the light programme, but Junior Choice sounded a bit funkier for those kids of the permissive 60s. And the theme tune changed from Puffing Billy to a sort of morning town ride. Now, how many times have you sworn on air inadvertently, as opposed to on purpose? It's usually when you think your studio isn't live when it is, or you're doing a recorded piece which you mean to edit later, or just when you think your mic's not live, but it is live. The Capital
Breakfast Show. Johnny Vaughan and Jodie Kidd.
Good. Fuck off. Oh.
Massive apologies. If you heard some bad language a couple of minutes ago, we had a technical problem in which some microphones were up and down, and it was a technical problem. You heard something on air you shouldn't have done. For that, we are profoundly sorry. Sorry if you're offended. We apologise there.
Yes, indeed. Johnny Vaughan with Jodie Kidd on Capital this week, 7 years ago. The South Coast now, and this week in 1968, BBC Local Radio arrives.
We reached Brighthelmstone, a disagreeable place. There is scarce an object, either in it or near it, of nature or of art, that strikes the eye with any degree of beauty. The sea will always be a grand object, and is generally accompanied with some circumstances of beauty. But here, it is adorned with no rocky shore, nor winding coast, nor any other pleasing accompaniment.
It's always good, isn't it, to start with some passionate local imaging. The early broadcast from BBC Radio Brighton 49 years ago with Laurence Olivier helping out.
Hello, BBC Radio Brighton. Can I help you? Yes, Mrs. Holmwood, yes. Just one moment and I'll take this down on the teleprinter.
Oh, we have a message here that's just come through to us. Telephone call, in fact, put through our teleprinter from Mrs. Holmwood of...
What is all that about the telex on the phone? What? Happy birthday, BBC Radio Brighton, born this week in 1968. It became BBC Sussex, then Southern Counties, and then BBC Sussex again. So, with City Gold and Great Yorkshire Gold becoming magic 20 years ago...
The Big Easy Magic 1161 starts in less than 30 seconds' time.
The death of the BBC's John Tainton 6 years ago...
A company we know, a company we trust and respect.
BBC Radio London starting broadcasting in stereo 36 years ago...
94.9 VHF.
And Saga launching in the East Midlands 14 years ago...
OK, let's go to our first call. Hello, who's calling Saga 106.6 FM?
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. And by the way, if you're wondering what else David's been up to this week, Alexa, play BBC Radio Nottingham.
BBC Radio Nottingham from TuneIn.
You see the busy working couples as well, don't you? Oh, it's Valentine's night, let's go out for a meal just like we normally do. And they're just talking about everyday things, going through the motions and checking their phone between the main course and the suite. And then you've got, you know, the couples our age, comfortably together. Actually, having said that, some of them, if you see these couples have been together so long, they've nothing else to say to each other. They're just sitting staring at each other for the whole meal. You think, how can they be enjoying it? Why do they come out? How can they be enjoying it? People will say to them later, did you have a good night? Oh, we had a lovely meal. See, only a lovely meal. You didn't speak to each other. Goodness sake. And then you get the most interesting couples of all, don't you? The most interesting couples of all, where you think, who are they? Are they together? Are they don't look as though, are they together? You know, is that his wife? That's the question you're thinking, isn't it? Come on, be honest, is that his wife? Oh dear. Now, on tomorrow's programme, what are we doing tomorrow? You can find out about...
David Lloyd, author of how to make great radio. Our thanks also... Oh, Alexa, stop. Our thanks also this week to Chelsea Norris, Ashley Byrne, Stu Clarkson, and of course you for listening. Next week, Danny Baker. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.